Well, thank you for coming to the webcast today. It is May the 29th, 2015, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the U.S. of A., and God's good, great planet Earth. One of the things that came up today is had my son call me, and somebody put out a deal that Creflo Cashflow Dollar was arrested for stealing tithes from the church, and so I had to research it, and it appears that there's really no actual factual stuff. This is just a continuation of the jet money, but I thought that I'd put up my old radio clips of when I was on the radio doing Creflo Dollar, letting you know what it's all about, so you can listen to part one, two, and three. It's further down on the website. He hasn't changed. He's still a pimp. And whether he took, I doubt if he took the tithe money from the deal like that. They got guys that, I mean, he's a pimp, but he's smarter than that. But you can listen to the clips, and I've caught him theologically. I've caught most of them theologically. Their theology is corrupt, so that makes them corrupt. It brings us to the fact. And it's a very interesting situation that we find ourselves in, because I was speaking with not only some of my philosophy of religion students, but my philosophy one intro about the idea of God and why this younger, fresh, new generation doesn't believe in a personal God in their lives. And that's one of the reasons why, because they can go on the internet, they can go on things like that and listen to things like that and make those kinds of statements. So whether it's true or not, in my eyes, this guy is corrupt, because God has never called a godly man to be a rich millionaire. Not like that. And just to listen to some of the things that he said years ago when I was on the radio, and thank you for not calling that number that's on that clip, because that they're no longer workable for me anyhow. But I just thought that it would be interesting for you to listen to. Let me talk with you a little bit about the freedom fighter, because that's what I see myself as. I see myself as a freedom fighter, but a different kind of a freedom fighter, okay? I'm not a freedom fighter that's fighting for the freedom of the American just way of life, because my whole world has been turned upside down. I mean, you know, when I look at the big guys that build this country and that supposedly are talking about how to live properly and how to follow God's way, and we're a godly country and everything, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 2, and I want to start off by reading from verse 1. This is what Paul writes to the church in Galatia, because he's really the freedom fighter that I'm quoting from here. He says, "And after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up in response to a revelation," Paul says. He says, then I laid before them, the people that he went there to see, though only in a private meeting with the acknowledged leaders, because there were early leaders in the church some 2,000 years ago. He says, "The gospel that I proclaim amongst the Gentiles," because Paul was a Gentile speaker. He was the Jewish guy that was to spread this good news of God to the non-Jewish population. He says, "In order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain." In other words, I'm having to tell them what God told me as a prophet of God, and so that they would know that I'm not a fraud, see. And that's what I love about this ancient biblical character. He was very concerned about that. He says, "But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek." Now, so he says, I had a Greek guy with me in the Christian journey, and he didn't want nobody cutting off the foreskin of his penis to prove that he was a good dude to the Jewish Christians. He says, "But because of false believers," listen, verse 4, "because of false believers secretly brought in," the church has always had those. The church has had the fake right next to the real. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, somebody can look deeply into your life, just like you can look deeply into mine. And if I took a deep microscopic look into your life, I would probably see something that I didn't like there also. So Paul says, because of the false believers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, so that they might enslave us. We did not submit to them, Paul says, even for a moment. And this is why I'm giving you this thing, because I put up the addendum to the Creflo Dollar thing. And when you listen to me talk on the radio some years ago, I'm still that man. I still have a deep love and affection for the true Christian church, for the true believers. And the true believers that are the true leaders in the Christian church, I mean the absolutely true one, they know who I am. They may not like everything about me. They may not like the fact that I hang out with young men. I have a young son that is staying with me. Now he's working. His woman is pregnant. He just got back in and was fussing with her people, and I had to counsel him not to listen to the wrong kind of people. You're a young man now. You've got to go forward in your life. You've got to be that way. And so I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. I'm giving the straight-laced thing here. And these young people don't live the way that I live. They don't live, nor do they think the way that I live. But the message that I give them is a message that will protect them in the long run. Now look what Paul says. We didn't submit to them, verse 5, for one moment, so that the truth of the good news may always remain with you. Then he says in verse 6, but from those who we are supposed to have to be the acknowledged leaders, he says, what they actually were makes no difference to me. See, Paul is putting it right on the edge here, and he says, it's not about who they say they were. It doesn't make any difference to me. I know who I am. And so let me just put it this way. If you're truly a freedom fighter, do you know who you are in Christ? That is very, very important. Now, he said that he was taking Barabbas or Barnabas with him. Barnabas was one of Paul's closest friends. In fact, when Paul tried to get into the fellowship of the Jerusalem church, it was Barnabas who opened the way for him. Now, look at the way one Christian man in the first century helps another one. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. Luke writes, and he says, when we had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. That is, Paul attempted to get next to them, but they didn't trust him. He says, but they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he, that is Paul, was a disciple. Just like a lot of people don't believe that I am, because I won't darken a church door. I think that these kinds of things have gone on for hundreds and hundreds of years. People have always been doubtful of other people. It is very difficult for people to love other people and to trust other people. And it is almost impossible for me to trust people that call themselves Christians unless I see some Christian behavior. I had a young person by my house, and they were talking and being braggadocious, and one of their friends cautioned them, and they asked me, they said, do you want me to leave? Am I offending you? And I said, did I say that, or did they say that? Because if I said it, you would have been gone out of here. I said, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose to see basically how Christians respond to things that are very, very difficult. I believe that we have to learn how to listen very closely and understand what I'm saying. I believe that we have to manifest what the term love means in the real, and sometimes in the most difficult of situations. I was recently doing research on my computer trying to see why certain children has ADHD complexes, to see what that is, to see how they think. They are hyperactive. They think they're uncontrollable. They need to be put on drugs. No, they don't. They need to be loved. Oh, Jesus, to love. It is the most beautiful thing to love someone, but it is very difficult. And I'm going to tell you, as a senior citizen, it is very difficult when, see, I was reared and entrapped into the Motown culture. you can listen to my marriage counseling page and listen to me play the music that directed my life. It gave me a focus upon how we thought back in the day. Trust me, young people today do not think in that way at all. With each generation, every 10 or 15 years, there's a massive change in how people deal with life. Now, when you think about the religion, I don't like that term. Don't let me use that term. Wrong thing. PJ, sin there. I don't believe in religion. And my faith, which is the first century Christianity, love is a thing that carried me through all those years of being a pastor, married to a wife, raising two children, and sticking with the modus operandi, even though I, in my own mind and in my own life, was completely embedded in another culture that I dare not live out through my faith in God, because my faith in God would not allow that. Even to this date, it does not allow that. But what I've learned to realize, that even though it does not allow what I would want, listen to me very close, because this is the way that you have to address your life. God has said that in your fleshly existence, that you are not to live in a particular way at all. He just says, thou shalt not do this and do that and do this and do that. Now, if you read the Bible, we are obligated to follow that, but we are not obligated to follow the Bible under some pimp's ruling of what he says it means. Lord, can I love these people? Can I love these people extraordinarily because they're more like me? Can I love them and interact with them? Yes, you can. God has never, man, this is beautiful when I think about it. God has never told me to hate anybody. God has never told me to separate myself from anybody because I disagree with that body. No, he's told me to love them. I'm going to keep this webcast short because I got to get up, wash my car, get ready to go somewhere. And basically, it's a family member's birthday celebration lunchtime that I'm invited to, and I'm late already, getting ready. And I want to do that. And so I'm not going to spend my time talking about this. I'll come back to this about Barnabas's friendship with Paul, because I think that that's what we have to do. But basically, you have to understand that Barnabas and Paul work together. They work together, not only in teaching, but also in helping poor people. And that's what I do, is I work together. Look what it says in Acts 11, 27 through 30. A very interesting text of scripture. It says, at all time, the prophets came down from Jerusalem. At that time, the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Abagus, stood up and preached in the Spirit that there would be a severe famine all over the world. And this, he said, during the reign of Claudius Caesar. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. Do the Christian church do that today? Hell no. They're not taking up no collection to help nobody. They won't even give you help in the church if they don't check your tithing record. Let me tell you something about God. God does not operate under a tithing record system. In other words, the church will not be able to help you unless you help the church out. That's not the way it goes. If the person is a true believer, following the concourse of the Word of God, there is no discrepancy in the life of that person, then they were to help that person out. Because it says in verse 30, this they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and by Saul. So they were carrying money not to buy mansions for themselves or jets for themselves or to live in a first-class citizen for themselves. But you always see this social exchange of money when it's being exchanged in the church to help the person that is in dire need of assistance. This is what the church ought to do. And this is what has turned me against the church these days in my old age. I don't see this help. I don't see it. I hear a lot of bullcrap talk. I hear a lot of people talking, oh, I love the Lord. I didn't know what, but are you doing what you're doing? You see, Barnabas accompanied Paul on the first missionary trip, and he had seen God's blessing of the good news that they had preached. And it is worth noting, ladies and gentlemen, that it was Barnabas who encouraged young John Mark. And that's very interesting, because John Mark had dropped out of the scene. He got cold feet, chicken. That's what he was. He couldn't take it. He could not take it at all. And this departure of John Mark totally displeased Paul as a leader of the church. It says, then Paul and his companions set sail for Paphos, and they came to Perga and Pamphylia. John, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem. You can see that in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. You can also see another abridgment of that in Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Let me read it to you right quick. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, come, let us return and visit the believers. He says, in every city that we had proclaimed the word of the Lord, to see how those believers are doing. Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul, watch this, decided not to take him with them, one who had deserted them in Pamphylia. Because in first century Christianity, when you got scared, you could leave the church and run off and say, man, they're going to kill me if I do this. See, and John Mark had gotten chicken and left the work. Let me tell you something. I didn't quit the church because I'm chicken. I quit the church because it ain't the church. Never was a church. That it was some kind of a thing put together by some Europeans, some European mindset to make some money here. Whenever you see some money involved with God, that is not God. That is not God. Look at verse 39. The disagreement became so sharp between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas that wanted to bring the chicken little boy, John Mark, with him. It says in verse 39, all right, of Acts chapter 15, it says that that the disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. In other words, Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed on away to Cyprus. But what did Paul do? Paul had to take somebody, it says in verse 40, but Paul chose Silas, okay? And they set out, and the believers commending them by the grace of the Lord. In other words, the believers said, okay, we have this sharp agreement. We can disagree. We're all still believers. You take who you have to take, and I'll take who I have to take. See? And so Paul and Silas went through Syria. You know where those people are running for their lives over there? Drowning in the Mediterranean because won't no country take them in? Well, that's where Paul and Silas went, strengthening the churches. See, we don't have to travel together. All I'm looking for is a true believer now and then. You don't have to go the way I go. Please don't try to bring that on me. In later years, Paul was able to commend John Mark because he grew. He grew in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, the cousin of, man, this is beautiful, isn't it? The cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now you see how Paul, he didn't change his mind. He had to watch John Mark to make sure that he got strong. And I'm looking at these people in the church over the years. I don't see them getting strong. I see them falling. Man, I saw people in the church hating other people. I cannot believe it, because they were quote-unquote sinners. You got to watch them when they come in your house. Let me tell you something. I've had so many people come through my house. You know, I kind of like that. He's now a deceased Christian singer, Keith Green, because Keith Green had a heart just like mine. He'd open up his door. Just research the name Christian singer Keith Green. As a matter of fact, before I end this website, I'm going to play one of his famous numbers on this thing, and so you can hear what he had to say about it, because Keith always had some good stuff to talk. As a matter of fact, I'm going to end up this webcast today playing some Keith Green, because I don't want to spend all my day talking about it. I'm going to let you hear about what he did. Let me break out a piece right now. All right, here we go. This number really, I think, depicts what Paul was doing, what Barnabas was doing, what Titus was doing, what all these people did in the first century. And this young man, who is now absent from the body, between 1977 and 1979, he recorded this number, and it's Keith on the piano and singing. I want you to listen to the words. And if you're a first century Christian, you think just like this. Keith, a master on the piano, plays in the style of Elton John. But listen to these words.
Make my life
a
prayer to you.
Why?
I want to do what you want me to.
Yes, I do.
No empty words and no white lies.
Yeah.
No token prayers, no compromise.
Did you hear that? No token prayers. And I will not compromise my life.
I want to shine the light you gave through your son. You said to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there.
Yeah, keep on singing, Keith. What else?
Well, I want to thank you now.
Yeah.
For being patient with me.
Me too, Lord.
Oh, it's so hard to see.
Why?
When my eyes.
See, he said, you got to take your eyes off of you. And everything that Creflo Dollar was saying on that thing is about him. Him being a God. Keep on preaching to me, Keith.
Yes, I have to trust and just believe what you say.
And that's...
Oh, you're coming again.
You're coming again. Why?
Coming to take me away.
Now, I got to trust in everything that you say because you coming again to take me away. Now, that's the way I feel about Jesus. He ain't talking about no trust in no church, no trust in no denomination, no trust in what's happening to the money that you're putting on the table, because them pimps would take that and everything else in your life. Check it out. Want to die and let you give your life to me that I might live. You see what I'm talking about? You got to die to yourself. I didn't see that, but keep on singing, Keith.
And share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free.
The love that sets me free. See, not no money, not no prosperity, not no give and gain, all that bull crap. That is not biblical Christianity. This is what biblical Christianity is. This is the way it sounds when it's sung.
I want to tell the world out there you're not some fable or fairy tale.
But it's a fairy tale when you got a dollar connected to it. You see, whenever you listen to PJ, your internet pastor, I'm not giving you no fable. No fairy tale. I'm telling you that I know. You know what? My sister died recently, and a lot of people were asking me, well, how do you feel? Are you all right? Yes, she had to die. Like, you got to die. I got to die. I feel no ambiguity about that. Keith, sing to me, brother.
That I have made up inside my head.
See, because a lot of people make up this fairy tale inside their head and try to tell it, and they can't tell it with completeness because there's nothing solidified to make it really take place. Sing, Keith.
Your God, the Son, you've risen from the dead.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Oh, I want to thank you now,
yeah,
for being patient with me.
Now, he's extolling the Lord because he says, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Do you hear the words of these songs? The words of these songs is not, give me my this, give me my that, I'm this, I'm that. That's a lie. Oh, sing it to me, Keith.
Oh, it's so hard to see.
When?
When my eyes are on me.
You see, when your eyes are on yourself, you cannot see what God wants to do in your life. Take your focus off of you and put your focus on Him as you extol Him, and as you extol Him and honor Him and love Him and worship Him, this same love and extolment and honor goes to everyone, whether they go to church or not. All of God's creation is to glorify His name.
Yes, I have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again.
Why is He coming, Keith?
Coming to take me away.
Yeah. See, the whole point is that Keith is saying, I know that God is going to come to take me away one day. I don't know when that's going to be. That's why when my sister died, I said, I ain't worried about that. Hey, she needs to be worried. Did she get that right? Listen to how he ends this thing up here. Come on, Keith, talk to me.
I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me.
Yeah.
I want to share the love that set me free.
Yeah. I want to share the love that set me free. And you know what, people? That's all I'm doing. Whenever I meet people, whenever I come in contact with people, no, I don't be mentioning the name of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. They know who I am. They know what I'm about. I had a group of people over here the other day, and like I said, one man, hey, man, you know, the old man is here. And I said, hey, man, they can't do nothing to offend me. Everything that people do does to offend God. And I told the young man, I said, I may not be a pastor in the church right now, pastoring behind the pulpit, but I still own my pastoral robes. And I said, I keep them in my closet ready because there's coming a day when I'm going to have to put that robe back on. But it won't be behind the pulpit in the church, because that era is gone in this country. You can see what's happening through the weather patterns and all the other things that's going on. We've lost our children completely because they don't believe in it. I promote peace amongst human beings. I have a flag flying outside of my house, and it says promote peace amongst the humans. That's what I have to do. That's my new religion, and my peace is going to be promoted through love. And that love only comes from Jehovah Jireh, Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus, if you will. The love that He had for human beings, I want to share that. I want you to share it. It's not about tearing Creflo down. He's a pimp. And if somebody lies on him and says that he did that, shame on you for lying on that man. But he's a thief and he's a pimp. And it is what it is. And to see so many people taken in because they haven't taken the personal time to research it for themselves and to investigate it, and with the guts enough to say it, like I've said over the years, shame on them. Well, I got to get up and go out there and wash my car, detail it and everything, because it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. It is just beautiful, and I want to enjoy it. Plus, I got to finish up some paperwork for this semester. And by the way, starting after next week, there will be, as long as I have breath in my body, a webcast every single day just for you. I love you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, my friend, stay in the Word.